Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great seeing this lovely sea of red out here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Joan Farr. I'm one of the lay speakers within our congregation. And today it's my privilege to be with you today and share a message of Pentecost with you. Before we hear our scripture reading, let me just tell you a little bit about where it comes from. It's from the book of Joel. Joel is a very, very short work. It's only three chapters, and we really don't know much about the guy, other than that he was a very wise prophet. He is identified as the second of the 12 minor prophets. Now, minor does not imply less important. It just means that he wasn't quite as wordy as some of the other prophets were. His work has been dated anywhere from 800 to 300 B.C., and the name Joel means Yahweh is God. In the Hebrew, it's pronounced Yoel. This short book falls into two important sections. The first section deals with a description and a lament over the great locust plague in the region, Judah, and a severe drought that the folks were dealing with. And so Joel instructed the priests to proclaim a fast and to call an assembly, the purpose of which was to arouse the people to the need for repentance and reformation. And the second includes the promise of future blessings. And it's here where Joel prophesies the coming of the Spirit on all. Let's listen as Emily reads our scripture.
Joel 2:28-29. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall see prophecy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Loving God, as we're gathered here today to celebrate the birthday of the church and to honor our veterans who served, we pray for the wisdom to absorb your message and to carry it out as you would have us do. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Are any of you environmentally savvy? Ooh, I got you on the spot already, huh? Well, there was an environmentally savvy homeowner who replaced all the windows in her home with double-insulated, energy-efficient, locked-tight windows. 12 months later, the contractor who installed the windows decided it was time he got paid for his work. And so he said to the woman, "How come she hasn't paid for it?" Well, she looked at him like he was crazy. And she replied, "The salesman who sold me those windows said that they would pay for themselves in 1 year." It's always fun when you tell a joke and hear the ripple of, "Oh, I get it, yeah," that sort of thing. Well, we often hear things, and we think we know what it means, but we've often misunderstood the meaning, or we don't have the whole story. So let's look at the big picture. We've got three major festivals in our church, in the Christian church: Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. Now, Christmas, we all know what that symbolizes. And we make a big deal out of this event, as well we should. Another event is Easter. And again, we celebrate this event joyously because it symbolizes the resurrection of Christ. So if I say Christmas or Easter, there's no problem. I get an instant acknowledgement of what it means. What happens, however, when I say Pentecost? If I were to take a poll and say, how many of you know exactly what that means? I'm not going to do it because that wouldn't be nice. But we sometimes get a look of puzzlement on our faces. We aren't sure. We say, yeah, I've heard of it, and I know we're supposed to say wear red, but I don't know that much more about it. So why are we supposed to wear red? You all got the message. You're all wearing red. In fact, it's so blinding up here, I can't see with all the flames that are coming this way. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. Pentecost is a Greek word meaning 50. And so we celebrate Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. In ancient Israel, Pentecost was the celebration of the wheat harvest, 50 days after the slaying of the Passover lamb. And since biblical times, the Jewish celebration known as Shavuot also commemorates the day that the Ten Commandments were handed to Moses on Mount Sinai. In Old Testament times, Pentecost was revered as the time when the celebration of the harvest took place. It's often referred to as the Feast of the Harvest or the Day of First Fruits. And it celebrated the close of the harvest. For us, Pentecost refers to the birth of the Christian church through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's an example of us adopting another tradition celebration. In Judaism, we remember Shavuot, which refers to the birthday of Judaism. Now, there's a little bit of background. Now, let's think about the cross and the flame that symbolize the Methodist Church. The empty cross represents the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the message that Jesus brought to us. The flames represent the tongues of fire that we all have available to us to speak this message. Now, did Jesus intend to start a church? No. Did he intend to form any organized religion? I'm waiting. No. What about John Wesley? Did he intend to found the church, the Methodist Church? No. Jesus did, however, intend to spread the message of grace, which includes love, caring, joy, healing, compassion, and he expected all of us to live that message. So let's revisit Joel again. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This scripture foreshadows the intent to spend this message of grace that Jesus taught us. Now, let's fast forward to the book of Acts. And here we learn that the frightened disciples, because this came right after Jesus was crucified, and the disciples were scared. And they were all together in one place. We usually think of the upper room as the place where they were. They were all together in one place where they heard a sound from heaven that sounded like the rush of a mighty wind. And then they saw the tongues of fire resting on each one of them. What an amazing vision that paints for us. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in multiple languages. We often hear reference that they began to speak in tongues. And it means simply they began to speak in multiple languages, and they went out, and they began preaching to the crowds gathered for the festival. The message of Jesus, indeed the message of the Holy Spirit, was now being given in every language and every dialect in the region. That wasn't supposed to happen yet. There we go. Well, again, a reminder. In Old Testament times, Pentecost referred to the joy of the harvest. In the New Testament, we are told that Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times out of fear, moved past his fear. He moved past it. And he began giving the message of the Holy Spirit to those in the crowd. And it wasn't wheat that he harvested. He harvested souls, thousands of souls. What a joyful event. But that was our birth 2,000 years ago. How are we doing? What is the status of that mighty wind? When we think of mighty wind today, we often think of alternate sources of energy. Now it's time for that slide. We know that efforts to harvest the wind are generating staggering amounts of wind energy. Interestingly, however, workers around wind farms have noticed an interesting phenomenon. They notice that there is fluctuation in the power output from those propellers. And it didn't make sense to them. Well, scientists began studying the problem, and they discovered the problem. Anybody got a guess? Smashed bugs. Smashed bugs on the propeller were causing an aerodynamic drag, and that cut down on the energy production. Gotcha, didn't I? Can the church be a wind farm?
Yes.
Sure it can. Can it be free of bugs? No, that's not realistic. There are always going to be bugs. There is the rush of wind that can fill our communities with the power of the Holy Spirit, but we have to identify the bugs that can compromise our effectiveness. I think that the bugs that build up are the ones that minimize our efforts to live our faith. And so we have to be vigilant in getting rid of those bugs. The Christian community is about being able to generate energy despite bugs. And you can make your own list, but I'll share some. We've got bugs such as theological disagreements, our treatment of one another, the way we manage our resources. But as long as we keep our eye on the message of Pentecost, that helps us move ahead and overcome the drag that bugs cause. The church is overrun with bugs doing very real spiritual and physical violence in the name of Jesus. This includes the tragic reality that the Bible is often used as a justification of, and the church is used as a cover for, unfair and unkind agendas. So, what about some more of our bugs? We can see bugs within ourselves. We can see it within the community. We see it in multiple forms of discrimination, such as homophobia, xenophobia, which is a fear of people from other countries. We see it in ageism, sexism, racism, and all of these things become a drag on the mighty wind. So, what is the message of Pentecost? Pentecost empowers us to spread Jesus' message into the world. It's grace which sets us on fire for things like peace, love, kindness, healing, joy, goodness. This leader who came to build an empire, did not choose guns, swords, bombs, weapons of mass destruction, tanks. This revolutionary, Jesus, built an empire based on love and kindness and genuine concern for all of humanity. This is the message of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's think about the birth of the church. Because this is the message that generated Pentecost, the birth of the church. Remember the mighty wind that filled the room where the disciples were? That was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the human flesh, promised by God, as told to us by the prophet Joel. So our opportunities as followers of Jesus is to catch the power of the Holy Spirit, to catch the wind power of the Holy Spirit, which electrifies the church. And as we electrify the ministry of the church, we are empowered to be in mission. We can respond to the needs of those in our communities. We can respond to the poor, to the immigrants, the children, the veterans, the disenfranchised. And it also means that we can respond to the multiple joys that we and our brothers and sisters in Christ share and experience together. We can live and share our joy at the beauty of life. In the late 60s and early 70s, my husband Ray and I were working in a high school in Southern California, in which there were a mix of races. I was a counselor, and Ray was an English teacher. Everybody on the faculty, almost everybody on the faculty, that is, were working to improve the aerodynamics of our school in producing positive energy. But there were some bugs smashed on our propellers. This high school had been identified as a target school by a militant minority group promoting an extreme agenda within their community. Skin color became an issue when it never had been before. Vulnerable students were indoctrinated with a message of hate and intolerance. The tension within the student body was high. The messages that the students were receiving was one of divisiveness, hate, intolerance, and this is so far removed from the message of grace that Jesus taught us to follow. The Holy Spirit was violated in this atmosphere. Bomb threats were always taken seriously, obviously. In the incident I recall, fortunately, school was out, the buildings were empty, but a bomb had been planted in the building and it detonated and completely destroyed the building. But bombs don't destroy the Holy Spirit. The bombs did not destroy the reality that the human spirit has the potential for goodness, kindness, and love. Bombs don't kill that. Years later, when Ray and I were working with college students in Oklahoma, after the end of the Vietnam War, I had a black student who was a Vietnam vet. And he shared his concerns about the discrimination that he was feeling against him because he was black. And he made the powerful point that when he was in the trenches during the war, skin color didn't matter. His fellow troops provided to one another only caring and compassion and protection. That was the important issue. They were always there for each other. Why, the student wondered, did skin color have to be an issue during peaceful times? And I think we all scratch our head and wonder about that. Why are differences among us, bugs that are reducing the aerodynamic force of those propellers. Where is communication, understanding, and love? Where is it? Well, this brings us to our stream of thought. Catch the wind. The Holy Spirit is a force that has changed the world. What about Pentecost? It's about birthdays. It's about fire. The power of the Pentecost is an energy source that keeps us glowing with love for the people around us. You can feel it in this room. It radiates light and warmth. And this allows us to cherish and celebrate with joy the three mega festivals in the Christian calendar: Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. We celebrate the birth of the church. We commemorate it with our symbols and with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our services. We have the mighty wind that propels our windmills and generates our energy. This is our challenge. As we live, do we go to church, or are we the church? Do we preach our faith, or do we live our faith? What are we living as followers of Jesus? We are given the power. We can open our hearts, our minds, and our doors. And that power allows us to be inclusive and loving of humanity. That's the joy of being followers of Jesus. That's Pentecost, where we catch the wind. Amen.